Vyborg pointed out. Kananga countered, not if they were found guilty of criminal behavior. It might be a way to control the people, Morgenthau said. Shaking his head, Janssen said, the population would never agree to it. These people aren't stupid, you know. They wouldn't give the government that kind of power over them. We wouldn't have to tell them, Kananga said. Just do it. That started an argument that grew steadily more fervent. Eberle watched and listened, sipping his tea while they squabbled louder and louder. At last he asked them, May I make a point? He spoke softly, but all eyes immediately turned to him. Even in the so-called democracies back on Earth, the desperate conditions caused by the greenhouse crash have led to very authoritarian governments. Even in the United States, the new morality rules most of the large urban centers with an iron fist. Which is why most of these people joined this habitat, Janssen pointed out, to find more freedom for themselves. The illusion of freedom, muttered Kananga. Secularists, grumbled Morgenthau. Troublemaking unbelievers, agnostics and outright atheists. Janssen shifted the palm count from one hand to another as he said, I don't disagree with you, really. I'm a believer, too. I understand the need for firm control of the people, but those secularists aren't fools. Many of them are scientists. Even more are engineers and technicians. All I'm saying is that if you try to get them to agree to a constitution that does not include the kind of individual liberties they expect, they'll reject the constitution. Not if we count the votes, Morgenthau said with a heavy wink. Be serious, Janssen countered. It's been done, she said, snickering. Eberle let out a long sigh. Again, they all turned to him. None of you understand history, he said. If you did, you would see that this problem has been faced before and resolved properly. Resolved? Vyborg snapped. How? Smiling with superior knowledge, Eberle said, More than 100 years ago, Russia was part of the conglomeration called the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics. I know that, Vyborg said sourly. Soviet Russia had a constitution, the most liberal constitution on Earth. It guaranteed freedom and brotherhood to everyone. Yet their government was among the most repressive of them all. Janssen seemed intrigued. How did they manage that? It was simple, Eberle replied. In the midst of all those high-flown constitutional phrases about liberty and equality and the brotherhood of man, there was one tiny little clause that said, in effect, that all the rest of the Constitution could be suspended temporarily in case of an emergency. An emergency, repeated Kananga. Temporarily, said Vyborg. Eberle nodded. It worked quite well. The Soviet Union was in a permanent state of siege, and the government ruled by terror and deceit. It worked for nearly 75 years until the Soviet government collapsed under pressures from the Western nations, especially the United States. We would have no outside pressures to contend with, Vyborg said. Eberle spread his hands. So we give the people the sweetest, kindest, most liberal constitution they have ever seen, but we make certain that we have that emergency clause in it. Morgenthau laughed heartily. Then, once the constitution is in effect, all we have to do is find an emergency. Or make one, Vyborg added. Even Janssen smiled. And then, if anyone objects, we stick a neural probe into his brain, Morgenthau said, and turn him into a model citizen. A model zombie, Janssen muttered. Or better yet, said Kananga, grinning, out the airlock with them. Jupiter Encounter, -3 days. Eberle asked Janssen to sweep his apartment for bugs at least once a week. Are you really worried that Wilmot is spying on you? The tall, pale Norseman asked as he walked across the bedroom, electronic detector in his hand. Eberle, shorter, darker, replied, It's what I would do if I were in his place. Are you bugging his office? Janssen asked, with a smile. Of course. Well, In 3 days we fly past Jupiter, said Janssen. It's a milestone. Eberle agreed with a curt nod. I'm more interested in what happens inside the habitat than outside. Janssen, ever the engineer, pointed out, we'll be taking on fresh fuel. Without it, we won't be able to get to Saturn. I have other things in mind, more important things. Such as? The coming elections. Janssen clicked off the detector and announced, you're all clean. No cameras, no microphones, no electrical power drain anywhere. Down to the microvolt. Nothing that shouldn't be here. Good. Eberle walked him back into the sitting room and gestured him to the sofa. Sitting himself in the easy chair, Eberle said, sooner or later we must get the people to vote on a new constitution and new leaders. Janssen nodded, tucked the detector into one pocket, and pulled out his inevitable handheld computer from another. I've been thinking about the elections, Eberle said. They're a long way off. Less than a year now. We must prepare for them. Janssen nodded, fiddling with his palm comp. The scientists will vote for one of their own, probably Urbain. Another nod from Janssen. They form a sizable block of votes. Not a majority, though. Not of themselves, said Eberle. But suppose the engineers and technicians vote with them. Recognition dawned on Janssen's face. That could be a majority, a solid majority. Therefore, we must somehow split the engineers and technicians away from the scientists, Eberle said. How can we do that? Eberle smiled. Let me explain what I have in mind.
Edouard Urbain tried to control the trembling he felt inside him as he stared out the observation port. The giant planet Jupiter, no more than a bright star only a few days ago, was now a discernible disk even to the naked eye, obviously flattened at its poles, streaked with muted colors from bands of clouds racing across the face of that enormous world. Four tiny stars flanked the disk, the moons that Galileo discovered with his first telescope. Tucked into a close orbit, just above those multi-hued clouds, Urbain knew, was the research station Thomas Gold. I could have been there, he told himself for the thousandth time. I could have been leading the team studying the life forms on Europa and Jupiter itself. Instead, I am here, in this glorified ark, stuck in along with renegades and madmen like this Gaeta fellow. He knew it was his imagination, but Jupiter seemed to be getting larger as he watched. No, we are not that near to it yet, Urbain said to himself. 3 days from now. That is when the spectacle will occur. Habitat Goddard's complement of scientists and their equipment was far smaller than Urbain had asked for. The university consortium was unwilling to send their best people on a multi-year voyage out to Saturn. Let them sit on their thumbs while the habitat lumbers its way out to that distant planet? No, never. Urbain recalled the face of the consortium's chief scientist with perfect, painful clarity. We can't tie up our best people for several years like that, Edward. You take a skeleton team out to Saturn. Once you're established in orbit about the planet, we can shoot our top researchers out to you on a torch ship. Get them there in a month or two. The implied insult still burned in Urbain's heart. I am not one of their top people. A lifetime of work on Mars and the Moon, 3 years in orbit around that hellhole of Venus, a life dedicated to planetary science. And all they think me capable of is playing nursemaid to a skeleton crew of also-rans. It rankled. It cut. His wife had refused to come with him. Instead, she sued for divorce. She had warned him over the years that he was foolish to ignore the political aspects of his career. Make friends, Jean-Marie had told him over and again. Play up to those who can do you good. He could never do it. Never play that game. He had done good work, solid work, perhaps not the level that wins Nobel Prizes, but important contributions nevertheless. And now this, the end of the road, exiled to Saturn. I'll be retirement age by the time I can work my way out of this habitat. I should have paid more attention to Jean-Marie. I should have heeded her advice. I should have paid more attention to the new morality counselors. They pull the strings behind the scenes. Mediocre believers.